All right. Apologies for the late start. The meeting of the Fire and Emergency Services Committee for the 2nd of April 2024, 5:30 p.m. is called to order. General Manager, could you call the roll?
Yes, Vice President Wilson.
Present.
And Board Member,
present.
All right. Okay, so public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it is called. Principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments will be limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee. The committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. Okay, so Director Aston, any questions about the agenda?
None.
Do we have a motion?
I move that we accept the agenda as written.
And I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Do we have any questions or concerns about the conformed agenda?
I did not.
Okay, do we have a motion?
Motion to accept the approval, or to approve the conformed agenda.
And I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? No? Okay. So we're going to move to open forum. Anybody out there who wishes to speak to us on an item not on the agenda, please stand up and state your name. And
can I make a correction to something before they get talking?
Correction to what?
Subjects of the proceeding.
I'm sorry.
There was a misimpression about the level of discussion tonight on one item.
Okay.
So the contract, for those of you who are here for the fire contract, it will not be discussed internally or the provisions. There's been no decision yet, and the independent report has not been received. This was to discuss procedure only. If that makes a difference to any of you.
Okay. So is
I had a really hard time hearing you, sir, so could you speak up a little?
Sure. If anybody's attending solely because they thought the internal part of the fire contract or Station 88 would be discussed tonight, they will not. It's only procedure. The independent report has not yet been received. We are hoping for the end of this month. And see what it says. We don't know. And we can't discuss it anyway. So for procedure, that's what was going to be discussed.
Okay. So going back to open forum, did anybody wish to address the committee on an item that isn't on the agenda? Wait till we get to that agenda item. Okay, so seeing none, I'm going to close open forum and we will move to the first department matter, which is a discussion about grants. And my understanding is the concern was that there are some grants that deadlines are coming due, and we wanted to see if CAL FIRE had a report on anything that was coming up.
Yeah, so with some of the grants that are open, you have the SAFER grant, which is for additional staffing that closes April 12th. The Assistance to Firefighter grant closed on March 8th, proposed to open in the fall of this year again. So as we discussed about grants in the past, Yes, we've submitted for both of those grants in the past. Also, at the time that we did submit that, we had two battalion chiefs working in the district, which allowed the second battalion chief the time to work on that. So our last recommendation was to reach out to Grant Writer to assist us with that, which we haven't done to this point. Our last big grant, the CCI grant, was filled by one of the battalion chiefs, but with the assistance of a grant writer that was on staff at the CSD. So that's really the grants that are out there right now. But I think with the SAFER grant with personnel, I think that's a discussion that needs to be had. Granted that it's coming close here on April 12th, but also with the current flux, I don't know how that would work out.
Okay. Did you have any questions?
Well, yeah, and some of this, I was wanting this because in the past, this has happened just a matter of course in our service and our work with our CAL FIRE partners. I thought it would be prudent, particularly with everything in motion, for us to look at setting up a yearly timeline for these things, making sure that it's queuing up regardless of who's on committee, because that hasn't been done historically. The CC&I grant was very helpful to us. I'd love to see us revisit that. So part of what Chief Martin and I discussed was laying these out, looking at the timeline, and lining this up so that, for instance, correct me on the title, the Assistance to Firefighters?
Yep, AFG.
AFG, that opens up in the fall. Do you have a more precise date on that? Or, I mean, we can get it. We've got time.
On the website, it just says it's going to reopen in the fall.
Okay. So I want to queue those things up, looking at the SAFER grant. This, we said, closes April 12th. And so one of the questions, well, that would simply be, we've already submitted, we have all of that paperwork and information. Is that something that we could simply make adjustments to and turn around and resubmit? Is there enough changes to it?
Well, so it's in FEMA Go. We were not successful on the last route they came and did confirm that. So we have it in the system, but the SAFER grants to provide assistance and financial assistance to add additional staffing, and then the process behind that is you get so much the first year, less second year, and then you're on your own. And part of it is, you know, having a plan that how are we going to absorb those positions and continue them post the grant period.
Right.
So to be able to provide accurate information, I do not think we have enough time to be able to submit a qualifying grant for that. Even though we take some of the data that's already been submitted, but there was a considerable amount of time, probably 20 to 40 hours of staff time to get that one together, and I don't have that right now.
Okay.
In the timeline of the next 2 weeks.
Right. And I'll just ask the question because it applies, is, again, as you said, so much is in flux and you don't know, but would our Station 88 considerations play into that? Meaning, we had the discussion last year, we had asked to come up again this year, would that SAFER grant, would we be a good candidate if part of that is this lets us keep Station 88 open for that staffing?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I don't know, because it's to, you know, it's to add positions. Mm-hmm. We would be taking positions away than to turn around and re-add them. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What was the other grant you talked about? The
CNI? Well, there's the SAFER grant and the Assistance to Firefighters, and then there's the CC&I grant,
which is what
we used, California Climate Initiative. Remember that,
okay.
Right?
Okay. All right.
That's what we used to begin our weed abatement program and to abate and staff for 3 years prior. CC&I timeline?
I'd have to look. I'm not
okay.
Sure.
Okay. And I knew we would come in this not having all the pieces today, but I want to queue that up. In the past, we've also done well with grants for smaller items like radios, for defibrillating systems, you know what they are. Is there a regular rotation of those that comes through that we should just put on a schedule? Or is that as a as needed basis?
Some of it is as needed. When we did the AFG grant, we looked at our SCBAs and some other equipment that we submitted for that's going to be coming up in meeting. When we submitted that, the last round, that's what we submitted for, was some equipment through the AFG grant. We weren't successful in that either.
And I'm aware you have to sometimes submit multiple times to be successful.
Correct.
I'm fine with that. Do you have thoughts on a suggestion for this? Obviously, Safer Grant is this time of year, so we mark that in the calendar. The Assistance to Firefighters is in the fall, so we queue that up for the committee and staff in the fall. Cece and I will look into that. What I'd like to see is just a calendar that sits in the fire committee's folders so that we're aware of this all year long.
Sure.
And I know you all can do that. Is there anything else you would want to put in consideration for that?
I think there's plenty of opportunities out there. And like you said, I think that's where some of the grant writers that are out there can continually look for what grants are out and what are the opportunities there for us, and then really help us put that together. You're asking very limited staff of personnel with not a huge experience in writing grants to do that. I think that's where you get your bang for a buck on those folks that are writing them, because that's what they do every day. And being able to, we would then supply the information and they would compile and put it together.
And to clarify, we talked about a grant writer on staff. We had hired them temporarily as a consultant for that, right? I just want to make sure we're clear on that. Okay. That was all my questions for the moment, but I'd love to.
Can I put one piece to that?
Yes. Thank you.
Just so everybody's on the same page. So the CCI grant has nothing to do with like staffing and those kind of things. That's a fuel reduction, defensive of space kind of a grant that comes through CAL FIRE every year. Which not to say it's not, it's a very valuable thing, but it has nothing to do with fire department staffing. It has to do with those other things. As far as I understand it, the SAFER grant piece, to answer your Station 88 question, if I understood it correctly, the SAFER grant is only used to add new positions to your department. So unless we were talking about adding a third body to Station 88 or something along those lines, the SAFER grant wouldn't necessarily, the SAFER grant would not bail us out for the current situation. It wouldn't take over funding the positions we already have.
Okay.
So it would be for an additional position if we wanted to go out. Just make sure everybody's understanding what
no,
those
that's,
are.
No, that's part of the clarity I was hoping for. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, essentially what you're saying is we'd have to eliminate the positions and then go back to restore them, and that's,
guess they
yeah.
Look
yeah, and that's...
just eliminated positions, they're not funded.
Right.
That would be my guess.
I'm just acknowledging we're in a transition period, and so looking at all
100%.
The different possible routes.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chief. Appreciate that. Anything else from staff on that? That was my comment.
Okay, so the SAFER grant, I'm going off of memory here, but they didn't give you a reason why they turned us down, did they? Okay. And as far as getting a grant writer in, I'm guessing that you would want somebody like at least a month before the deadline.
Yeah, I don't know. We'd have to do some research on that and see what the cost that's associated with that as well, because they're not going to do it for free.
Of course.
But, you know, and some of the things for them is, you know, being able to look for all the different grants that are out there and what are the opportunities and to submit. We're looking at some very specific ones, but, you know, there's all kinds of opportunities out there. It's just a matter of being able to know where you can grab and go.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so if there's no additional comments from staff, opening it to comments from the public. Did anybody have any comments on the subject of obtaining grants? Seeing none, moving to item two, which is,
I moved down here a while ago. From what I'm hearing, it sounds like we're trying to run the fire department on a shoestring budget, right? The grants are temporary. They're not meant to keep going back every 2 to 3 years to get this money. I think at some point, as as a body, you're going to have to make a decision on the long-term sustaining what we have. And I mean, you can kick the can, you can keep kicking this thing down the road, but they're going to be back here in 2 to 3 years again for the same thing. So I don't know what the temporary solution might be. I mean, I know what it is, but I don't know if it'll pass. That's a whole other discussion, right? Mm-hmm. But it says, you know, this is just a band-aid that we're going to keep putting on.
Thank you. Was there any other public comment on the subject?
If we could bring it back.
Yes, I'm going. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were moving to agenda item two.
Nope.
I apologize.
I almost did. But yeah, no. Comments?
Well, yeah. I agree with the statements. These are not things that we tend to rely on. We've done a good job in the past of identifying them, and they've been very helpful. And I think we should continue to do that, because why not? If there's grants out there and it's available, it helps us, let's go after it. Can we ask staff to create an initial timeline that just becomes part of the fire committee's binder, and to start to fill in the blanks of a timeline in the year for grants that we need to be aware of and can be going for in the next couple of years?
Need a list first.
Right. Well, we've got
it's not something I know.
Correct. And we've got the short ones. The other piece in this would be, per Chief Martin's comment, we might want to consider understanding budget, but would it be worth putting in the budget a grant writer for an initial look at what's available and seeing if that's cost prohibitive, meaning it's not worth it, or if hiring a grant writer will actually relieve our budget some?
Works a couple of ways. Some grant writers work on a percentage of what they get. Some work for just straight fee. I don't know in fire, because I haven't submitted one in fire, but I've gone both ways. I don't like percentage. You give up too much usually. But it depends on who's available, what they want, and how good they are, and what their connections are. Because in grant writing, people that regularly submit to a particular agency and are seen as credible give you a lot better chance, if all things are equal.
Well, then I'll suggest we bring it back for discussion. I'd like to consider, even if it's an initial grant writer as a flat fee, to just set up an investigation of here are the grants we should go after, because I think we need that assessment before we know anything. Recognizing we had two battalion chiefs in the past when we were doing that, we have one now. And the board can decide that's not fiscally what we want to do right now, but I think it's worth the discussion to bring somebody in and have us identify which ones, how much, if it's worth going after, and then we can continue flat fee contract after that based on what's available. I would love to see us go after that CCI grant again. I know we can't rely on it, but if it's there and we're eligible, let's get it. That was all my comments.
Okay.
Staff to bring that back.
And I don't have any additional comments, so I am now moving to item two. Update on the current status of weed abatement for fiscal year 23-24. Realizing that we don't have our weed abatement specialist anymore, our second battalion chief. So where are we with that?
Yes, Dusty and I have talked about it. We got a little bit of a late start, but we're looking at having Callan help with just identifying some of the key lots so that we can get the notices out on the vacant ones. And then the second notice, 1st of June, or May, rather, so that we'll have done the notice period. And then if people actually do the work, great. And if they don't, I've talked to park staff, and they're going to go forward and hire an attempt to talk to residents about defensible space. I mean, it just takes a drive through the district and the number of homes that have bushes in between them, and are certainly not defensible. And then we are going to, as staff, we're going to abate on a fully distributed cost basis for the owner to the extent we can during the month of June.
Meaning we would go in and abate the property and then charge the owner?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Every penny, including buyer's time in getting ready, including administrative, everything it costs us would be charged. And when not paid, would be put on the tax roll.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, this is for fire staff. One of the things that we've dealt with in the past with this policy is the timeline. Trying to do this so that we can get any abatements that are not reimbursed on the tax roll by August 1st. Am I right on that?
You are correct.
And something we've bumped up against in the recent years is late rains, and people will abate, and then suddenly a month later it's rained and it's all back. So part of what I wanted to ask about is, should we consider adjusting the policy to the reality that trying to start at April 1, get it out May 1, June 1, people will still need to go back and abate even after that, if getting it on the tax lien isn't the first consideration? Would you recommend a different timeline?
Yeah, so I mean, right, the timeline is started with the tax lien process and work backwards.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's what the timeline is. I think it does need to be some bit of fluidness, because some years April is the right time. Last year and this year, we're pushing late rains again. I mean, we have a winter storm warning for starting tomorrow night through Friday. So we've got the late rains coming, and then we're going to have some warm and drying period after this weekend for the next 7 days. So then you're going to see that grass mold start growing again. So yeah, if it was not based off of tax lien time, then sure, we can move that time based off of the current conditions. The challenge of that is we move that timeline, you wait till a whole another year. If the district abates, either with contractors, as we've done in the past, or park staff, then the folks that do not pay and have to go to tax lien, then you wait a whole year before that gets put on there. So that's the other financial component that comes with it. I do think that to do that, we'd have to make an amendment to the ordinance, because it does have some of the timelines in there in the ordinance. It talks about May 1st. If the property owners do not get the work done, then the district will abate. So I think some of that language would need to be changed, but that would really be up to the board and general manager on that piece of it. From a practical piece and fire department piece, I think having the flexibility based on the current weather conditions is the best. Last year we did not look at any grass lots and that, knowing that they would abate and have to go right back. So we looked at the more brush model and that component that was not going to come back in the time frame. So I think it would be much nicer to have some flexibility to do that. And I think it's a good opportunity for Alan and Callan and I to really look at the process as a whole. This year we've been late on hiring our defensible space inspector, which helps with those inspections that typically get done this week. So I think those are some of the challenges that we have out forth, and the workload. It's not fast to go look at 300 vacant lots. That's days and days of work, and not a lot of people have days and days of time. So I think we might have some efficiencies. There are certain areas, that homeowners associations do a bunch of the work. Is there some efficiencies that we can look at within the district to make that process better? I do. I think it'd be worthwhile for CSD staff and Cal and I to sit down and really, really take a look at some of that and have some more in-depth conversation on it.
Yeah, Eric. Yeah. I think later would be better
if the district is willing to wait an extra year to get its money back that people don't pay, because you're more certain to grab a good result before fire season, I think. And, you know, it makes sense. But there's a bunch of people aren't going to pay, and we don't get our money for an extra year. And if you're willing to do that, then fine.
Well, do we have any idea what kind of money we're looking at?
It depends on how much we budget. This year, last year, it was $15,000. This year, it's $50,000. And because of the late rains, we were going to concentrate on the brushy as opposed to the grassy lots, because the grass does come right back, but the brush, particularly.
Okay. Taking it out to the public if there's nothing else?
Actually, I do have a couple questions to follow up on that. So do we have any, and we might not have it here, we might have to bring it back next time, just historical data on the success of our collections? Meaning, we say some people won't, we assume that some people might not pay. What has actually happened over the last 3-4 years that we've been doing this? It's been a low number that we've worked with most of the time. So my recollection is there has typically only been one, maybe two property owners that did not respond and that we abandoned and that did not reimburse. But I would love to actually know what those numbers are. Because I think that's, we can go off of that. If we budgeted $50,000 and 20% of that we can count on won't come back to us, that means the district will be out of pocket $10,000. If we budget $20,000, that means we're out $2,000, and that's a different consideration for the board. Also recognizing, correct me if I'm wrong, just because it goes on the tax lien, we might not see that for 5 years. Because if I believe it's at 5 years that it actually then goes into the tax bill, is that correct?
I do not know off the top of my head.
That's what I remember having been told, but it's either that or at sale of the property. Those are the only two answers I've ever heard.
I was told at sale. I don't know if we've changed it to 5 years.
Yeah, whichever comes first kind of thing. And we also run the risk, I believe, of if something happens in the transition of that property in between our filing and it going on the lien, if the property transfers hands, there's a chance we don't recover that from the new owner. So those are the considerations I believe we need to keep in mind.
Yeah, I would have to work with Christina to get the numbers
yeah.
that we've gone to tax lien on and have her pull that. I don't have those numbers. I do have, you know, 2019, we did 13,260 of weed abatement. 20, we did not do any. 21, we were at 21,161, and 22, we were at 18,374. Was the total cost of the district that we abated?
Okay.
And the problem is, we're putting money out, and we can't put out enough for 300 lots.
Oh.
We don't have that kind of money. So you take your choice of what looks the worst according to Cal and try and do those.
So I'll come back with a request from staff, but I think you've answered my questions. It sounds like from the fire prevention point of view, it would be better to create a policy with a little more flexibility. Can still do it earlier if weather allows, but in times like last year, this year.
Yeah,
does that sound right?
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay. That's my questions for now.
Okay.
I have a comment.
So what I'm hearing is even if we get it on the tax rolls by August 1st, we're not getting it back the next year or anything. We're just making sure that the lien is there before the property changes hands or something. Okay. All right. Is there anybody in the public that would like to address the board on the subject of weed abatement? Okay. Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board.
Okay. So it sounds like we're in the process of getting the weed abatement specialist hired.
Is that correct? Yes, they are.
Okay. We have a policy for dates. What's the impact if we don't meet those dates?
So Al and I had a quick discussion today. I got to go back and do some research on staff time, and we're going to see what we can come up with to try and meet the dates. Parks Department says they can do the abatement in the month of June, which then we would have to send the bill to property owners, and then they have the ability to appeal by the current ordinance, and in July, and then by August, Christina can file for the lien. For us, it's going to be a matter of hiring and being able to get the inspections done, and so we're going to work with Alan and staff to see if we can come up with a process here in the near future to see what we can get done at the best of our abilities.
Understood. Recognizing limited time and staff,
yeah.
We do what we can, which is what we've done along the way, right? And just to clarify, we did not have anything in 2020. My remembrance was we decided not to at that point simply because we were right in the middle of the beginning of COVID, and we didn't want to put that burden on our community at that point, so we just took care of that. So can I ask for staff, whether it's next meeting or the following, to come back with the information about what's happened historically, how much have we been reimbursed for, and how much have we had to put on the lien, just so we can start to see that 3-4 year trend. And I think that can help us in our decision about how much to allocate to do and delaying the timeline. I would also ask, as staff time allows, because it won't affect us this year unless we change the policy now, if we can look at what it would mean to change that ordinance later this year to give our fire staff greater flexibility.
No, I think that's a good idea. I mean, climate change changes everything. I mean, taxes don't follow climate.
Nope.
Those are my requests and comments.
And I completely agree with that, and I don't have any additional comments. Item 3, the CAL FIRE contract. And this was strictly a procedural discussion, where we're at and what steps we need to take, correct?
Where we are right now is the board has hired Triton for independent review of what we should do, which I believe also includes staying where we are. I just got a note from the firm that's doing it that they're planning on delivering something in early May, and we'll be talking to them on Thursday. It's the first time we've not emailed, but voice. So we'll see. We need to have it. We all wanted an independent viewpoint, and that's what they are. So we'll see where it goes. In terms of timeline, we're at the board chooses do anything about 88, you've got to give a 1-year notice. And so that's up for discussion, not now, but it would be up for discussion. And anything else the board wants to change is also a 1-year notice.
Questions?
Yeah, so just to clarify timelines. We are under contract with CAL FIRE through June 30th, 2025. Per the contract, we need to and we want to give notification of anything beyond that no later than a year prior. Am I correct in that?
Yes, you are.
Okay. This is the normal timeline when we would be having that conversation, and I want to recognize the load our general manager has been under coming in at the end of December, and a lot to get up to speed on in multiple departments, so I'm glad we're coming to the conversation now. So my understanding is the board has to revisit this. If we're going to extend the contract, we need to ask that. That also becomes a budget consideration as we're looking at our 24-25 budget. So it seems to me that part of what the board needs is information. We've had discussions back when we were doing contract negotiations and all of that, and the board decided for a two-year extension. It seems like it would be important and appropriate to have some of that information revisited, meaning here are your options. Here are your options for the 24-25 fiscal year. Here are your options for the 25-26 fiscal year. And I don't know if good Chief Martin, Chief Blankenheim, has there been any material change to the numbers from our conversation last year about projecting out? Because initially it was a five-year contract. We pulled that back to two. Have there been any changes in those projections? Do we know?
Not in the projections, no. The one thing that has been solidified between probably that last conversation and now is the staffing level we're going to be required to have. So yeah. All of that's played out, and we are at the numbers we need to be at. What we've been talking about all along is the number we're going to be at. So, you know, the 12 operators starting this year on July 1st, if we're going to maintain both stations, 2-0 staffing on both engines, it'll stay at 12 for the two stations. We can have a discussion on one battalion chief versus two battalion chiefs, and there'll be some, we could go either way on that, but there'll be some service delivery things that probably won't happen if we go down to a single battalion chief, and I can talk about a couple of them here already. The big hit would come on the fire marshal, fire prevention side, not necessarily the operational side of things. So there we are. So I gave you some, they are with ballpark numbers in January. We had a 2x2 meeting, I think, in this room here, and those ballpark numbers are still valid for
how many?
24-25.
How many fire fighters would be in those numbers?
Yeah. The staffing model right now we have is 12, correct?
Yeah, 12.
I thought it was 11.
11.
It was
11. Sorry, there's 11, and then we make the shift by the end of the year for the 12. That's right.
Kind of depending on how some of this conversation plays out, and if we're going to stay in some of those kind of things, we would like to hire that 12th body in July.
And if I'm remembering right, part of that is coming down from Cal Fire in terms of how we have to have.
Yeah, that's the labor contract.
Labor contract 12 by the end of this calendar year. Is that right?
It was. Yeah, it was November of this year, basically, in the calendar year. Yeah. We're already there, or we will be there when we get to 12 higher.
Sorry, I was thinking of the battalion chief in that as well. Yep. But yes, so we're at 11-person staffing model now.
Yep.
Need to move to 12 by November. That, at this point, that includes one battalion chief.
Yeah.
Okay. Part of the discussion before was, of course, last year at the same time, talking about Station 88, and obviously, as the general manager said, it's not a discussion of what to do with Station 88 tonight. That's not our purpose. My hope was we need to get information so that the board can discuss, so that the public can hear, so that the public can discuss and give their input. So we have the same data on the 12-person. Part of the information we also had was a 10-person staffing model. Is that correct? If 88 were to close, because we would move a person over to cover that additional load. Obviously, it's not going to cover all the calls, but we would move to a 10-person staffing model at Station 89.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Were there any other considerations in that should Station 88 close?
Staffing wise, no, I don't believe so.
Okay.
Unless I'm missing something, Dusty, was there anything else we talked about?
Well, yeah, so I mean, I think the one thing that we do have to talk about is part of the concession of going down to one battalion chief was to keep Station 88 open to help with that, reduce the cost. So we put a heavy workload on personnel by reducing by one to be able to keep, to be able to open up those funds to be able to keep Station 88 open. So I think that is going to be part of the discussion.
Okay.
And the impact to our folks in the district that are better than the extra workload that's being put on.
Meaning the potential of moving back to a two battalion chief should we go to the one station, because the load doesn't change, it's just centered in one place with less staff on engines.
And that's what the chief was talking about, of that's where some of those discussions come back and forth on expectations of work and some of those things.
Okay, and those are some of the details I wanted to get out in our conversation. Any other considerations then? in Station 88 open or close? Just in staffing. There's lots of other considerations,
yeah.
I know. But.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think staffing, I think that's it. And as far as like projections out over many years and that kind of thing, we can give you numbers, but they are truly going to be ballpark numbers.
Right.
The numbers are tight. There's so many things that happen in the state economy and some of those kind of things. Year by year, they go up and down 4 or 5, 3 or 4, sometimes as much as like 10 or 12% depending on staff benefit rates and those kind of things. So what we try to give you, we've said this before, is our best guess on what it's going to look like based on current numbers and adding as many potential costs in there as we possibly can. So giving you a high number as humanly possible. So
right.
if we want to have a discussion based on what 24, 25, or 25, 26 are going to look like, I think that's a great idea. I think we absolutely need to do that. You guys need to have that information. But just like we talked before, until we get into, you know, 4 or 5 months out, 5 or 6 months out from the start of the fiscal year, CAL FIRE is not going to know some of those multipliers that go in there, and that's where some of those 2 or 3% things go. They stabilize over time, but if we're looking at year to year, what I'm afraid to do is give you something now based on today's numbers,
mm-hmm.
and there'd be a big change in the state system come next January, and those numbers are off by 10%. So I'll give you the numbers, but we got a caveat that they are truly ballpark until we get 6, 8, 9 months out, something along those lines.
But if it's part of a contract.
100% that, yes. So once
meaning
we
if
that,
we say, we need another year, we need another 2 years, here's the number going.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. That do not exceed the non-goal.
Right, because at this point, part of the discussion has to be what happens for
25,
26. We need a number, we need to sign that, we do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Those are my questions for the moment. We'll have some more when we come back. I know public will probably want to chime in on this.
Okay. Anything else from staff? Or okay, then opening it to public comment on the CAL FIRE contract.
Chief,
No, go ahead, sir.
So the current staffing right now is 2 people, a company officer and a fire apparatus operator. Are any of them or both of them medics?
We have a medic on the engine every day. Yeah, sometimes it's 2 medics, sometimes it's 1, but yeah, there's a medic on the engine every day, on both engines every day.
So it could be either or, it could be either the apparatus operator or the company officer.
Correct.
Vicki?
Yeah, hi, Vicki Jacobs. I'm a little confused about some of the timelines. So we have 25 to 26 is when we next don't have a contract based on what we have right now. We're supposed to give 1 year notice. So that's June of this year, correct? How are we going to be prepared to make a decision about whether to extend the contract based on where things are now? You're not going to get the report and try it until May. You guys are going to look it over a little bit before you send it out to the public. The public's going to need to have some time for reaction, I would presume. And then you start negotiations if you want to proceed with the annexation with the relevant agency or agencies involved. That takes a certain amount of time, of course. Then, and I understand there's this whole LAFCO thing, which I still don't understand, that's involved in approving all of this. You know, we're way into the final year of our contract before there's really a final decision going to be made by y'all about how we want to proceed. So do we need to, in order to be fair and reasonable and comply with our contract, go ahead and file a 1 year request for a 1 year extension at least with CAL FIRE for the services so that we aren't, I don't believe they'll leave us in the cold, but you know, there are things that are greater than all of us that make determinations about how money will be spent. So don't we need to at least, in good conscience, try to get that process going now in order to protect the district, to make sure that we do have our fire services in place? Because from what I can see, and from what my experience has been with dealing with the government for a lot of part of my career, it takes forever to get anything done. And negotiations take a long time. And I think we're, as the gentleman said, kicking the can.
Thank you. Was there any other public comment? Yes.
Bradley Pollen, Camp Report. I've got two comments. One of them is a question. When AP Triton completes its report, is going to give it to the board. Is the board going to hold a special meeting to review the AP Triton report? Yes? Thank you.
That would be the procedure if we get a final report from AP Triton, yes.
If?
When? If.
When?
So you're going to get a final report. I guess my question is it going to get reviewed by the board during the normal board meeting cycles, or will they hold a special meeting so then they can expedite the fact that that needs to come to the public? And if they hold it at a special meeting, will they approve that report that night so that we will have some idea that it's coming in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, some period of time that the public can expect to see that report? The second I have is, at some point, the board is going to make a decision whether to close 88 or not. What is the financial deficit trigger to make that decision? Because there's discussions and arguments on two sides of services rendered by this district that could pay for it, but then the district feels that they can't because they're obligated to a bond or a chart. So if I could get answers to those, I'd appreciate it.
I can do a little of it.
Could you?
It would be a special meeting called a workshop. The report would be public and circulated before the workshop. It would be presented and discussed at the workshop. And since it's a public workshop, the board could take comment, hold a subsequent meeting on what they want to do. In terms of budget, I think it's a reasonable suggestion to see if there's an option to extend for a year. I know that LAFCO takes time, and assuming that's the decision to go in that direction, generally takes a year to 18 months. They could go faster. Depends on entirely on the executive director of LAFCO and how fast they want to move. And in addition, I don't think negotiations themselves have to take that long. I know that in general government they can take forever in there. But I think something like this, they don't have to be that long. Depends on what the parties actually want. Which includes staying where we are. You know, it's still a possibility. So all three options are open, and no decision's been made. And on 88, you know, everything depends on budgets. And what the district can afford to do if it looks like it would have a deficit budget again as a result of that. You know, we have certain things that we have to provide. A certain level of fire that we have to provide. A certain level of parks and rec that we have to provide. We've cut back the loan on some of that, and we're looking to see if we can re-expand it. And gain revenue. But until that takes time to build, until we do, we don't know. And what fire provides over the years has changed. And going back and looking at the history, back in the 90s, fire provided actually a lot of services. And that got a higher percentage of the two chunks of the district budget. Doesn't provide the same services today. And it has been getting a percentage of the limited service district, even though they're not supposed to. Nobody thought to actually separate them out. So it's gotten a little bit more money than it should have. But it's going to come down to what the report says, what the board finds, the information they get, and the budget numbers. I know fire has been making yeoman-like effort to see if they can come in under, you know, it isn't final till it's final.
have a follow-up, please.
I'll quick pause. I just want to make a point of order. Typically, we do the comments on questions once we've heard from all the public, and I just want to make sure we don't fall into the conversational structure versus you get to have your time to make all the comments and questions you want. I want to make sure you get the answers you need, but I want to make sure that we do that properly with all the public. So, so Mr. McMullen had not used his full 3 minutes, but I'd like to, from this point forward, make sure that everybody gets their 3 minutes, and then the comments close, and then we can respond to that, just so that everybody gets the same consideration.
And that's fair, I agree, except for when there are statements made that are challengeable, and then you don't give the public the chance to challenge those. There's an issue there, but irrespective. What services does the fire district no longer offer that you're saying they offered in the 90s and they are no longer offering them?
I'd like to hear that.
I don't have it with me, but there was a list in the records of a number of extra services. It was explained to me a few days ago, but that's a document that can be public.
Okay.
And if I can get the document, I'll be happy to give it to you.
Okay.
Private.
Okay. You didn't close public comment, did you?
I did, but I have no objection to you speaking if you have no objection.
Oh, no, I was under the assumption public comment was still open.
Barbara Rogers, I just want to say I've been here in the county since 78, retired from the fire department. I've been in this community since 91. I know the history. So, Mr. Gardner, perhaps you and I should have a meeting and we have a talk, because I don't know. And then I could also bring people to Chief Samples, the retired chief of Cameron Park, before we went to CAL FIRE, that could tell you the history of our fire department. I can tell you that this CSD was formed with the fire department along with other things because of the airport. So we had our fire first and then they grew. So to me, I've never made any bones about why I come to these meetings for 20 years. I'm here because of my fire service. I'm here because of the unique situation. And the only other question I have is, when you look at everything AP Triton does and you look at the survey, what percentage of respondents or would you all feel is a fair number of respondents of the citizens to consider that survey to be viable? Because I'll tell you, I don't think it was a very good survey. It was just my opinion. So down the road, once you see things, I would really like to know how many respondents responded to the survey.
That should be in the report.
Thanks.
Okay, was there any other discussion about the fire contract?
Well, I didn't know if there was any other public comment.
Sorry, I just
didn't. No, that's fine. I know we're trying to separate that out. I wanted to see if there's any other public comment.
Okay, I thought I had closed it, but yeah. Was there anybody else who had any comments before we bring it back to the board? Okay.
I can add to General Manager's comments. I agree with Vicki's comment. We need to look at extending this, and that's why we're having this discussion. Is it has to come in discussion, the board has to consider it to make a decision. And from my assessment, the only way to do that is to have the budget in front of us, to have the possible paths. Keep Station 88 open, here's what it costs. Close Station 88, here's what it costs, and here are the other impacts. I think the board can only make that decision with that information. And so part of this was to queue up that conversation. So yes, I agree. So for Mr. McMullen, I can tell you, I agree with the general manager, the trigger is finances. In my experience on this board, we have a minimum amount that we have to keep in our general fund just to operate, to pay the bills for our quarterly invoices from CAL FIRE, et cetera. And my understanding is that's about $2 million just to operate. If we go below that, we run the risk of not having the funds we need to fund our operations. Now, Christina and Alan can bring other numbers, and I find a stand corrected. But that's been my experience and what I've been told in the past. So a simple piece is look at the general fund. How much do we have? What's the deficit? What? And it's not just fire again. We've got all these other services we have to consider in that too. Part of the consideration last year when we made the decision to keep Station 88 open was a $500,000 deficit. We had about 3.2, 3.3 million in the general fund at that point. And so the board said, we can afford to pay for that out of the general fund and still be financially responsible, still be, we can still make our payments and all that, and still have some cushion left over. So part of the consideration of what I want to ask of staff for the next board meeting is an update on some of that. We have our billables from the first two quarters from CAL FIRE, which is part of the consideration for projecting out the rest of the year and what the potential deficit. And again, we don't know what the full cost is until, Chief, correct me if I'm wrong, it's July, August before we get the final bill from Q4, which would be April, May, June this year. So it's all projections to that point. We'll have up through our third quarter contract with CAL FIRE by the end of this budget year, I believe. We'll at least have the billable numbers. So we have a reasonable sense of what the cost would be. And that is a huge piece of what will help the board make a decision. If we come in under, if we come in less than $500,000, if we come closer to less than $500,000, and the board says we have enough in our fund to do that, then the board can decide to do that. There does come a point where if we don't have the money and we can't pay for it, we can't do it. We don't want to put our district in a position of becoming insolvent. That would be irresponsible. It's not that simple, I know, because there's other services and there's other considerations and all that. And it's not just a fire consideration. Some of you have been to other meetings besides fire, and you know that there's a large percentage of our public that want to keep these other services, that want to use the community center, that want to keep the parks open, that want to do soccer, that want to do all these other services. And so they need to have a voice in this as well, for how it's decided where the money goes. And we need to give the public time for that. So those were just to address a couple of the questions. And I want to recognize at this point, and General Manager, tell me if I'm wrong, we're in a year-to-year situation right now. That's just what it is. We used to be able to do a five-year contract and figure it out, make it work. Right now, it's year-to-year. If we come in under, we can keep it going another year, great. If we can't, we have to make a decision on what happens. That's just the reality.
I'd like to add one comment.
Yeah, please.
I think Dusty's been making a very good effort to try and come in with a small deficit. And, you know, hopefully that is final, because in that business, you just never know. You know, you got the budget. I mean, they had a bunch of serious repairs that had to be made on one of their categories, and they were had a lot of savings in. I mean, it's not a business that you can say, no, I don't have to do this. You know, when it happens, it happens. So I know that he's trying to bring budget deficit down for what they take. And he's doing a good job. But there's no guarantees, you know? I wish there was, because then we could say, gee, 88 stays. But we can't until we see.
Any other comments?
Yeah, so what, unless you've got other comments.
You can go first.
So what I'd like to ask staff to do, and tell me, fire staff and general manager, if this is appropriate, I think we need to bring this discussion before the board at our next board meeting for April, just as a discussion item, not a decision item,
early.
Well, I think we also need to bring it to the budget committee, which the meeting's going to be next week, correct?
It will be before the board meeting.
Okay. All right.
Well,
but we don't have all the numbers yet.
All right.
To be able to do this. So that's why I like budgets being done early, folks.
Yeah.
You can't do that here because you don't have the numbers, both either from the county or from fire, to have a final budget within your fiscal year. You don't. And you can't. Can't bet on air. So that's why the district runs late. We get our money late, and he's got to wait till he gets the information before he can close it and give it to us. And so just timing. You know, if we had a fiscal year that ran to September 1, maybe it would work better, but we don't.
Well, what I think would be helpful, because again, I don't think that April is the time for board to make a decision, or the public, because if we're going to do this properly, we bring all the options before the board, help us understand what the implications are for each. If we keep Station 88 open, here's the fiscal impact. If we close Station 88, here's the fiscal and service impact, and give the community the chance to hear that and respond. So my suggestion is that we bring what we have in April, and part of that would be a request to our fire staff is let's revisit those numbers, let's bring the spreadsheet of the projections out for I don't think an 11 member staffing is part of that consideration anymore. That was just for this past year, right? So a 10 and 12, is that right? So what the staffing, 10 staffing model, 12 staffing model projection out for the for next year, as well as, and I'd say the 3 years following, just so we see that, because that's helpful to the public to see where that goes in the long term, not just immediate. And with that, just some of the information you've shared with us, the full board needs to hear some of this too. What are the impacts? Do we have to consider another battalion chief because of the increased load on 89 if Station 88 were to close? I'm anticipating that members of the public far and wide would want to be a part of that conversation, which is really good. And I would love for them to hear this information too and give us the board at least a month to process it before making a decision on a contract extension and how that works both for 25 and 26, as well as even just next year, because the board has to make a decision on what to do with Station 88 for the 24-25 fiscal year. And that's driven primarily by money, just what we can make sure we can actually afford to do. I know.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
But we just need to know exactly what the apples and oranges are here.
Right.
Because at this point, we don't know if we keep eating open. Because you don't know where your apples and oranges are.
I understand, and I just want to be careful. I don't want to open up.
I understand. But
I know you.
I would have talked to you afterwards, so there you go.
I stick around, you know that.
Yes, you do.
Let's make sure everybody's clear on this. For 24-25, we're under agreement with you guys already, so mm-hmm. we know
right.
exactly what that number is for 24-25.
Yes.
We're going to know very soon here how much we came under budget this year. So there's no mystery about what happens next year. It's the, if I misspoke on that, it's the following year, the 25-26,
mm-hmm.
when we start getting into that true projection ballpark number kind of thing. So we know the exact number. We know the exact do not exceed amount for what it would cost to keep Station 88 open next fiscal year.
Well, and then that's the one piece of clarity that I do need, and I would like that in the packet, which is we've had two answers in this. One is it's a year notice, but that's primarily been for continuing or not continuing service or change. There's also a 120-day notice of a staffing change.
Yes.
And so I want to make sure we understand that, does that apply to a Station 88 consideration for the next fiscal year? And you might not be able to answer that now, and that's fine. Answering that would be important when we come
in. We've asked these questions, and in recent history, CAL FIRE has never dealt with that. So that language is in there, but
yeah.
We ask, and nobody's dealt with it before. So
okay.
I would think if we're talking about staffing changes, meaning adjusting by two or three bodies, right now the answer would be, I think that applies to the 120-day thing. That's not a wholesale change.
Correct. Right. We're talking about moving from the 12-person model to the 10-person model.
Correct.
Should Station 88 be closed.
Yeah.
That's the only thing in the
yeah.
consideration of the 120.
I think everything else, I think he's correct.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. That was my understanding.
That is a 120-day model.
Right. And so that's the information that I want the board, I think Director Wilson too, we want the board to hear, to consider, not decide next time, but to think and to give the public a chance to hear it, consider it, ask their questions before we have to make a decision. My hope would be that the board could make that contract decision in May. I really don't want to go to June like we did last year.
I don't either, but you know, we're getting a report late April, early May. It's pushing it.
Well, from my position, I don't think that report matters in this decision. We can't make a decision based on that report for the next fiscal year.
That's true.
I agree with you.
That's true.
And the truth is we have 2 months in the summer, because we approve our preliminary budget in June and then a final budget in August. If there needs to be adjustments made over the course of that, we can do that. But we have to make a decision by the end of June, and if that report doesn't come public until sometime in May. That's not enough time to process that for a preliminary
No,
budget.
But if we have to give a year notice, I mean...
Well, I don't know that that's the consideration in this. And we don't want to get too far down that road.
Yeah.
For me, it's just I want the information that's necessary for the board to make their considerations right. and decision, and the public, too.
And maybe a quick right. comment on the report that's going to come back from AP Triton.
Yes.
I've got limited experience in dealing with consultants and those kind of things, but I do have a little bit. And I've got a lot of colleagues that have had experience doing these things. There's a high likelihood that report we get May 1st, May 15th, whatever it is going to say draft on it for sure because they want the board to approve it. There's a high likelihood that there's going to be real questions and things that we're not comfortable with in that report that we're going to send back to AP Triton to readdress and some of those kind of things. So I don't want to put a false sense out there. We're going to have this document ready to go and we're going to read it and make a decision on May 1st. That,
correct.
So just include that in your timeline. There's going to be a period of probably a month or two, a couple months of back and forth to AP Triton
oh, yeah.
on
well,
those
and,
kind of things.
And some of that will occur even before it's a public document at that point.
Absolutely.
At that point because staff and committee will also get the first looks at it just to make sure, hey, this isn't right. We don't want that going out to the public with information that we know isn't correct. Or, yes, affirm that. So we're going to do our due diligence with that before it even gets there.
Yeah.
You want to make a comment?
Yeah, I mean, we will be pushing and are pushing for them to use due speed in getting it out. But I agree with you. We'll get a draft to see whether there's anything in it that's obviously wrong. There could be things we disagree with that doesn't mean they're wrong. But if it's obviously wrong, it's got to be fixed before it goes public. And I tell you, I didn't negotiate the contract, but I'm a heck of a lot tougher on timelines at the end. If, you know, in a contract going forward, because the work should be done and they should be touching us with it, giving us progress reports, it's a different animal. And it was negotiated under prior administration. So, going forward, you'll see it different.
Okay, any more comments?
Not for me, if we have my request from staff for that board meeting.
Okay.
Let's see if that's something else.
No, just frustration at how long everything takes.
No
but
more public comment. We've closed public comment on the agenda. I am sorry. I truly am. But point of order, we have closed public comment.
Twice.
Twice.
Yeah. Okay, so... yeah, it's incredibly frustrating how long anything takes. I guess it is what it is. And I think that's it for that subject. So staff update, our fire department report.
Yep, I'll cover that. So not a lot of change in the fire department report. I won't bore you with all the stats that are in there, you can read that. You have note we had a couple of incidents that occurred, had a pretty aggressive structure fire, initial attack that the guys did really well on, and then also we had a vehicle fire in there. And so shows where we're at with maintenance, shows where we're at with our rental income of where we're showing for this year. Just, I think the biggest thing of note is you'll notice OES task force in there. That's fairly new this year for us. The county, through the OES system, has requested pre-position of engines with multiple different storms. So in Cameron Park, we've staffed up an engine on all those pre-positions, which the Office of Emergency Services provides reimbursement back for that. So that's where you're seeing that number in there is for water rescue stuff that we did, and then also the staffing of our Type 3 engine for the weather events and the pre-position to be prepared to support the county with any weather-related incidents.
Okay, any questions?
Just a clarification on incident count comparatives. We've talked about this, the decrease across the board. but some of that is because of staffing, because we no longer have the ambulance.
Yeah, so part of the initial numbers that were in there in the past were some of the move-ups were calculated in the report that we pulled. So once we hit later this year, you'll see all that
true.
Fall off.
Okay. That was it for my questions.
Okay, so the OES thing, we almost wouldn't have rental money if it wasn't for it, I guess. But sorry, brain fart. I don't think there's a question there. The building that was acquired, though, was that, I can't remember the name of it, but
Escalon,
was that, no, the one on Palmer Drive, did that used to be Escalon, or what was that?
Yeah, it was Escaton.
Escaton.
Skilled nursing facility. We're in the process of finalizing a lease there. It's not quite finalized yet, but in the process of finalizing a lease for our firefighter hand crew program.
Okay. And the Escaton facility actually closed?
It did.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no other questions. Did we have any public comment on the report?
So, Chief, don't you feel having those hand crews here will be a great addition to our community when needed?
Yeah, if we get the lease finalized, it's going to put 60 firefighters on hand crews in the community every day. It'll be, the current staffing model is going to be 3 crews a day with right about 60 personnel. Huge addition when we look at response, close time frames to the freeway, fairly center in the county to get north, south, east, and west. And so pretty good addition to having that many additional firefighters.
Yeah. Was there any other public comment? Go ahead.
And if the fire district was to go into the hands of others, would those same firefighters be at our disposal at no cost?
Yes, for a wildland fire, we have the mutual threat zone, and so the Chief Blankenheim explained it the last, in the prior meetings, we have a response for the state responsibility lands, which we have a fair amount of Cameron Park. We do have about, we do have a fair amount of local responsibility acres in here, and so then at that point in time, it would go to the chief's discretion. Right now, you get the protection for all the local areas because we are in contract. Then it would go to the chief's discretion on if it was an LRA fire and is there a true threat to the SRA and how that works. To date, we have not charged a local agency for fire in the LRA from Cal Fire. Thank you.
Was there any other public comment? Paul?
Question from the Greater Cameron Park Fire Safety Council perspective. There was a plan to do for the 100-foot defensible space around the Cameron Park unit for the Pine Hill Preserve. Are there resources, or are these the same type of resources that grant money being awarded to the Fire Safety Council that would be utilized for that?
Could be. They're a hand crew, no different, that can do sponsor work just as our Growlersburg crews and, is in the past. It's Ponderosa Fire Center does have a current agreement with Cameron Park CSD for sponsor work on CSD lands already. They've done a fair amount in the last year. So, yeah, absolutely.
And then just to follow on to it, in line with the vision and direction for Cameron Park CSD, a FireWise community is spinning up within Cameron Park per direction. We've taken the lead on that.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Closing public comment. Go ahead.
And Chief, this hand crews, they're not the CDR folks, they're Cal Fire. And the training that they have, is that, you know, are they certified firefighter ones and twos?
Yep.
So they're like young men and women who graduate from college with the firefighter one, firefighter two certification. And instead of putting them on a structural engine, you put them on a fuel reduction crew.
Yeah, very, very close. So the requirements to be on a hand crew is not the same as to be on an engine. We can take them 18 and a driver's license, and then we provide them the training that they need. But they are in the firefighter one classification for us. They are paid professional firefighters, work a normal work shift. And so they're not a fuels reduction crew. They are a type one hand crew that will go to any fire and that. They do fuels reduction work. But in CAL FIRE, we have fuels crews that are specifically every day. That's their job. Their primary purpose is for wildland firefighting.
All right, thank you. And anybody else? Going, closing public comment and moving to the fire prevention report.
Yep, so you see the inspection hours and violations, corrective violations there. I think the big thing to note is we worked with the CSD staff and have finally got to our software upgrade. We're no longer going to be doing handwritten inspections. Alan signed the contract this last week, so we're in the process of implementing the first due platform, and so it'll give us real time synchronized data amongst our some of our folks that we've partnered with fire prevention. With CSG, with InterWest, and then our staff. So we're not passing paper back and forth here for very much longer. We'll be in a computer system, be able to track much better our inspections, the status of them, and then we'll have an electronic record of it. So that was a really big thing for us with trying to cut down on some of the workload with for Callan and the fire marshal's side of the house, and be able to have better communication back and forth with some of our contract services, and be able to better manage the contract with those folks.
Questions?
So we got the contract signed, which is great. I'm so glad to hear that for all of you.
Yes.
Do we have a potential timeline when it will be fully implemented?
So we just started it, so Callan's working on getting the training and getting with the folks on that, and so we hope within the next couple of months to be there. So we got to get the software and then get the training on it and get everybody up to speed.
Okay, and we can talk about it at later meetings, but I'd love to put it on the agenda for, it sounds like July would probably be better.
Yeah.
To come back and say we've been doing this for a couple months, here's how it's going.
Yeah, so sounds like May would be a little aggressive.
Well, I was thinking June's even a little aggressive.
Right.
If we're still implementing.
July,
I want to give it at least a couple of months.
Yeah.
Okay, so July would be reasonable?
Yep.
Okay. Beside that, just checking, how's the relationship continuing with these partners and getting this the inspections done, et cetera, besides the software?
So we're still working through that with them. One, it's been tough, right? You have paper. They do paper, trying to get they're doing our inspections on paper, trying to get that back from them. And so we've hit some bumps in the road with them. Callan's in the process of evaluating continuing with CSG. InterWest, we've had a very long-standing working relationship with. When we first went out to this process, InterWest was not able to meet our needs with inspections. They've come back. They now have an inspector in the local area, and so we're in the process of really evaluating the relationship on both sides and figuring out what's going to be the best moving forward. And so it's a constant work and checks and balances on Callan's side with them. So we're in the process of really doing a deep dive evaluation on where we should go in the future. And we had a meeting with Alan and Christina a couple weeks ago. We started some of those discussions on what does that look like. We did have a limited budget with CSG based off of the general manager's discretion to be able to execute that. So we're starting to come up to those dollars. and that's prompting the evaluation of you know, where are we at, and do we need to stick with where we're at or change course? And then that'll have to, we'll work with Alan to see if that needs to come to the board for a decision or if that still falls under the general manager's purview.
So we haven't exceeded?
We have not exceeded that yet.
That's interesting, because we were thinking that could happen in three months.
Yeah, and I think some of that was, right, is getting the process started and some of that communication back and forth. So we're still under that dollar threshold, but we're getting real close right now.
And I would ask, for just members of the public who maybe haven't been here in some of this discussion, can you just give the brief summary of what this relationship is and what happens here?
Yeah, so CSG is a partner to pick up some of the workload of the fire marshal. They'll go out and do our state mandated inspections. They can do other inspections at Cowan's discretion, but really is to take the bulk of that state mandated inspections off of the plate and go out and perform those. And then the violations will be noted, then they'll go back out and do the re-inspections and provide the education to the property owners of what needs to be corrected and that. And so that's really kind of where we started at. And as part of that evaluation process is what other pieces can they pick up to continue. We do have the relationship with InterWest. InterWest does a fair amount of our plan reviews, especially the more technical plan reviews. And so that's a separate contract we have with them. We've been using InterWest for many, many years now, where we'll submit different sprinkler plans and alarm plans to them for review, and then they'll do the review and bring back. Neither of these agencies, if they do plan review, they can't do the final approval. It has to go through the fire marshal. And so they'll take a look at them, make changes, corrections, and then when they get them to that final stage, it goes to Cowan for a final look and final approval at the county level.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So you said there were some bumps with CSG. What were some of the bumps?
Well, some of it is their reporting, the communication back and forth, where are we at, how the processing on their end goes compared to what our expectations are. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're looking at. The software may clean up a lot of those bumps. When we're asking them to do paper, drop paper off, right? You have a real miscommunication there, and it's not very easy to track what they've done, what they haven't. We get them on the system. Now we know immediately what inspections have been done, what the status is. We can open, look at them immediately, and we have better oversight of that.
Okay. So when you mentioned InterWest, in addition to the plan review, are you also potentially looking at them to replace CSG for the inspections?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, thank you. Opening it to the public. Go ahead, Paul.
Just as an FYI, I happened to be at the Board of Supervisors meeting this morning, and then consent calendar item number 4, which was discussed in length, Bo Whopper, also Wildland Fire
Resiliency.
They had authorized to go forward and utilize the Fire Safe Council folks that have been trained on 4291 to help them with their inspections, or I think they called it assessments, and that might be an option to help alleviate some of the load, because they've approved that for the Fire Safe Councils to help with a Whopper and being able to go out and do some of those assessments and looking at what needs to occur. So I'm just saying it's a possibility, and they allocated up to $250,000 in funds to be able to help offset those costs for those volunteer assessors to go out and evaluate property.
Okay, thank you. Oh, is there any other public comment on the fire prevention report? Okay, closing public comment, and bringing it back to the board.
Nothing else for me.
And I don't have anything else either. So, bringing it to items for future committee agendas.
we had talked about a couple things. Well, one, I'd love to see the update on weed abatement process next month, and that's just standard procedure, follow that. I don't know if next month is the right time, or because of the timelines, we bring back the grant discussion and timeline at a later date to start setting that up to set us up for next year and the fall. Would love to see in July the report on the implementation of the software, mm-hmm. how that's going, as well as just a follow-up to that. Those are the only pieces I had now for May and future. Oh, and at some point we were going to revisit the ongoing vehicle maintenance and replacement schedule. We had a 5-year one that you all provided with us previously. Love to see us continue that out, even just on a very 30,000 foot level. Put that out for the board so we have that for replacement, et cetera.
Yeah. Do you want to see that in May? Or
no,
in
don't
June?
Need to see that in May. That's, I don't think that's a priority, because we've got the 5-year and the things coming up there.
Okay.
Although, that 5-year should probably be brought forward again as we look at budget for next year. We had a lot of costs this year from deferred maintenance.
We sure did.
And I'd love to see us get ahead of that for next year and identify what we need to tackle as we can. Yes, we do.
And I may end up with a solution for you.
That's right.
Solutions are good.
Eating an elephant.
Okay.
Yeah,
one bite at a time.
One bite at a time.
Okay. Any comments from the public on that item? Bringing it back. Items to take to the board of directors.
Well, I had asked staff to prepare a report on the CAL FIRE contract.
Mm-hmm.
And just bringing forward information on 10-person staffing, 12-person staffing, projecting out budgets for next year, 25, 26, 26, 27. And really, I think it's just that 5-year contract that we had looked at prior, but just we'd only done the 2 years.
Yep.
And my request is that's a discussion item for the board. Again, not a decision. I want to make sure the public understands we're not making a decision in April. It's discussion. The public wants to come in here,
yep.
and speak into it. So that was the only thing that I knew of.
Okay. Matters to and from committee members. Nothing?
No. I'll speak briefly, just because it's not the purview of this, but just the ad hoc committee continues to schedule meetings. We're looking at AB Triton, concerned citizens of Cameron Park, continue to meet with the different interest groups, trying to set up meetings with users for our facilities, just to pull all the folks involved in. And as the general manager said, I know we're looking to book another community town hall discussion, just to keep the conversation in front of everybody and be able to answer as questions as we can. So that's related to this. That's about as far as I'll go with it.
Okay. The hospital thing that I mentioned a couple of months ago, as far as our hospital having to come up to seismic standards by 2030, there is legislation, which I can get anybody the bill number if you want to get it from me, but there is legislation to extend the deadline and some other odd things that will help our small rural hospitals not get their licenses yanked. So that was good news. That was pretty much it. Okay, and being everything, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
All righty.
Thank you, everybody. What time is
it? Oh, yes, the meeting adjourned at about 7:04 p.m.